Five-star quarterback loves Auburn's wide receiver room.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes. An Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
What's up? We're back. It's episode 46 of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it and rock and roll. We're going to talk Juju Lewis, some quotes that he made at the On3 Elite Series. And we're going to talk about this golf team national championship. I got my golf hat back on today, my Auburn golf hat back on today, showing some love to the guys. They're going to be at Toomer's Corner tomorrow night. We're going to talk a little bit about everybody needs to go out and support them. But before we do, let me tell you about somebody else who's fired up about that Auburn golf win. That's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Ford's actually on a trip right now overseas with his family, little graduation gift type deal for his daughters. Stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning, nearly 4 o'clock in the morning to watch this thing finish up. You know he's fired up, and he's fired up to help you. Who better to trust with your money than a guy that'll stay up till 4 a.m. to watch Auburn men golf win the national title? I can't think of anyone better. But anyway, Ford's ready to for you to call him, and he can put together a retirement plan that'll last projected all the way through your 95th birthday at absolutely no cost to you. That's a $1,500 value most other places. With Ford Stokes, it's absolutely free. Give him a shout at activewealth.com. You can check him out at annuity360.net. Or if you're not in the Huntsville area or in the Columbus, Georgia area, and you want to catch his television show that he does, you can check it out on retirementresults.com. So tell him War Eagle, tell him I sent you, and just overall make a friend. Ford Stokes, great guy, activewealth.com. Check him out. All right, so we talked about it yesterday, this On3 Elite Series, annual thing they put on is sort of like a seminar. It's not a camp. It's not guys going face-to-face and working on their rankings and trying to bolster their stock and things like that. It's an invitation that On3 puts on. It's the best of the best, all the five stars, as many five stars as they can get, as many of the high four stars as they can get. They all come to Nashville and they talk about NIL, the impact it has on college, how these kids navigate it, how they navigate agents, how they navigate all the things, as well as the transfer portal. And On3 does a really good job of educating these guys on this wild, wild west now of college football. But while they're doing this, they're also getting a lot of content, getting a lot of great interviews, a lot of great sound bites. And Cole Pinkston got some great ones from Juju Lewis, the five-star quarterback that as long as more time goes by, it feels like it becomes more and more of a realistic chance that Auburn could add this kid to their class. Many sites have him as the number one overall player, definitely the number one quarterback on pretty much every single site. I don't think Auburn's ever signed any quarterback for sure of that magnitude in quite a while, if ever. I know you can talk about Cam Newton, but he wasn't really coming out of high school. That was more of a JUCO deal. This is the basically one of the best quarterbacks, not one of the best quarterback in this 2025 class. And he's constantly talking about Auburn. One thing that he said that really jumped out to me that I've kind of been preaching about the importance of recruiting and stacking classes is that specifically he said that one of the things that interested him the most about Auburn is overall the team depth. The receiving core there is top tier right now. Cam Coleman, a freshman coming in and all that. And then Coach Freeze has had his run with big offenses back in the day at Ole Miss. You know he can come in and set you up well. You don't think Juju watched that 8A game? You don't think Juju watched those big plays that Cam Coleman made and have his eyes sort of lit up because he's going to come in ready to play? He talks about that later. You know, I'm not here. I don't really want to sit. I will compete. But, I want to play. I want to come in and try to win the job. So when he comes in as a freshman, your Cam Colemans, your Perry Thompson, your Malcolm Simmons, your Bryce Canes, all these guys are going to be one more year in the system. And if you don't think he's got his eyeball on that, not only at Auburn, but else, you know, around the country, but for sure at Auburn, you're crazy. He's definitely, he's a very, very, very savvy kid. He's got a plan. He's got a plan, and he knows that to be able to achieve that plan, I can't just throw it to myself. I got to have dudes that can go up and get it. And that's so important. That's why Hugh Freeze put so much importance on this wide receiver class. That's why, you know, we tried to do everything we could to also add Ryan Williams, but that didn't happen. That would have been gravy. But, you know, you got Cam Coleman, you got Perry Thompson, you got all these guys. The importance of having an established wide receiver class is massive for following year recruiting classes, quarterbacks. I'll tell you something else, Perry Thompson. I'm sorry. I'll tell you something else Juju Lewis knows. He knows that if he goes to Auburn, there's some targets. There's some targets that Auburn's looking at in this 2025 class that would be ready to jump to Auburn if they knew they have a quarterback of the caliber of Juju Lewis coming in with them in the same class. So your guys like your five-star coming in this weekend, Caleb Cunningham, there's several, Derek Smith from Selma that's committed to Auburn, committed to Alabama, that's still coming in on an official visit on June 7th, I believe. Like all these guys, you know, if you bring a Juju Williams in, those guys are like, hey, that's a stud. We can go, you know, we can go jump in there, and we know we're going to have a stud throwing us the ball. They already got Walker White there. You add Juju Lewis in the mix, man, you flip a coin there. Somebody, we win. Wide receivers win in that scenario. So I love hearing quotes like that. He talks a little bit further about, Perry Thompson, and he said that, you know, they say he's bigger than Cam. They talk about his, you know, talking about how Perry Thompson is coming in. He may be behind, but physically he seems like he's ready to go. He also talks about how, you know, essentially he's hearing about Auburn, every single day. He's in Carrollton, Georgia. Carrollton, Georgia is pretty close to the Alabama line from what I believe so. And I think there's a lot of Auburn folks in Carrollton. He said, I heard people in Carrollton tell me I'm going to Auburn, and that's been the rumor around Carrollton right now. That's what I'm hearing on a daily basis. It's hard to get Auburn out of your head when you hear it every day. So there's some people there there's some people in that town that love Auburn that are definitely pushing Juju, or at least talking up Auburn to Juju. So, again, the longer this thing goes out, he says he's going to shut it down. He says he's going to shut it down before his season starts. So I guess that'd be towards the end of August. Well, what do you shut down if you're already committed somewhere? What do you have to shut down if you're already, you know, if you're locked in, like he said, right now, locked in to his USC commitment? What do you have to shut down? Haven't you already kind of shut it down since you committed to USC? I don't know. I'm just, again, he's definitely savvy, media savvy, media trained. He knows what to say. And a lot of times these kids, a lot of things they say all has to do with NIL and being strategic and things like that. But he's saying the things that make me feel like this recruitment is not over. I don't believe Colorado has a remote shot. I don't care what Steve Wiltfong says about what Juju says about Colorado. He's not going to Colorado. I don't even think Deion's going to be at Colorado in the following season. I think this is probably his last year there. But it looks like it's an Auburn SC battle, and him saying, you know, I'm going to shut it down does not seem like he's very committed to USC at this point. So got to be patient, got a few more weeks till his official visit. Then you're going to have Big Cat weekend. So he'll be here on June 14th for an official visit. It's going to be massive. Then he's going to be here again, hopefully for Big Cat weekend. And I think maybe even some type of camp series that we'll have. We'll see how that shakes out. See if his high school ends up coming to those on sevens and things of that nature. But Juju Lewis talking up Auburn at the On3 Elite Series, I think is something to keep your eye on. Loves our wide receivers, loves the depth chart, the offensive depth chart that you just brought in. And that's the importance of recruiting. That's the domino effect that happens when you reel off a big class like this. But before we move on, let's obviously give a shout out to plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off every single order. from the end of time, from now to the end of time. They got a roast for everybody, and it's freshly ground the day before it ships. You're not getting stale old coffee that's been sitting on a shelf forever. And if you don't like coffee, they got tea too. But save 10% and check them out at plainscoffee.com. The golf team, we talked about it yesterday. Golf team pulls off a I don't want to say an upset. I don't want to say anything. They handle business and win the national title, going wire to wire, the number one team in the country. Absolutely electric final. If you don't know the format, basically you have once you get to the Elite Eight, it's match play. So it's one team versus one team, and it's 5-on-5. And then between those 5-on-5, it's 1-on-1 each five. So you got five individual matches, one golfer versus another golfer. You win, you get a point. So very simple. You win three of the five, you win the national championship. Florida State wins the first two matches going out. Auburn wins the next two, and then it goes down to the final match. And your senior J.M. Butler, who has all kinds of golf accolades, goes ahead and closes it out, I believe, on the 17th hole. Don't even have to finish. Don't even got to play the whole course. You go ahead and end it, and Auburn wins their first national championship. Honestly, it's a completely dominating season. They absolutely dominated all season. This win would put them at 10 wins for the year, which puts them in very, very rare, very rare company. One thing that's really funny, you know, I joked about the broadcast last night, and I joked about the broadcast yesterday and how poor the coverage was. The coverage was actually really good today. Yesterday, the coverage was actually really good, mostly because it was just one-on-one. It was one team versus another team, so they had no option but to show a lot of Auburn, but they had a good cover. But the funniest thing was they gave this stat, okay, and it has to be the most useless stat that's ever been shared on air. So they said, so the match play era has only been 14 seasons. Okay. So used to when you play the teams that got to the national title, they just played 4 days of stroke play golf. And then whoever had the lowest score wins. Well, now they play 4 days of stroke play to decide the individual champion. And then the top eight of the lowest eight teams get seeded in to go to this Elite Eight match play. So you play stroke play for 4 days. Then if you finish in the top eight, you get paired together. You get seeded based off of where you finish. And then you go play match play, a match play tournament towards the end. So Auburn does, you know, finishes there. They go to the match play championship. And the funny stat was that on that last day, they said that in the 14 years that they've done the match play, 8 out of 14 teams that the first two matches they've won have ended up winning the title. Well, my God, 8 out of 14 is only 57%. It's not like it's a landslide. 99% of the time, the team whose first two guys go out and win the title. No, it's basically a coin toss. So we defied odds. We defied the odds, beat the heavy percentage of the teams that have the first two matches that go out. We defied the odds and came from behind and took down the Florida State Seminoles. I don't know. I heard that stat. I was like, wait, I didn't really hear that right. And then people started texting me and we started chatting. I was like, yeah, that's what they said. 8 out of 14, as if that's some monumental hill for Auburn to have to defy the odds to come back and win. I just thought that was hilarious. Kind of banging on a little bit, piling back on the Golf Channel broadcast. Just, I don't know. The most useless stat shared in a live sporting event possibly of all time was that. And then I feel like they kept trying to jinx J.M. Butler at the end. They kept saying, you know, you can't say – it seems like every time when you got like a field goal kicker he's never missed an extra point. And then the announcer says, you know, up until this point in season, he is perfect. He's never missed an extra point. Boom. And he misses an extra point. They kept saying multiple times, J.M. Butler has never trailed in any match in this match play, tournament. Well, you say that one time, we get it. Okay. You say it every time he steps up to steps up to hit a shot, it kind of feels like you're trying to jinx him. I don't know. Just saying that is complete jinx material, and they kept doing it over and over again. Anyway, poetic Auburn versus Florida State in California. We avenge the football national title. It was like a storybook. Win the national championship. I think in the modern era of golf, definitely in the match play era, this is the best team, best not just the best Auburn team. I tweeted this last night. This is the best golf team of the modern era, definitely of the match play era, maybe even of the modern era. And I know you're thinking, whoa, Kyle, let's slow down a little bit. But no, seriously, think about this. 10 wins. Okay, so if you look at teams that have won 10 times, you got Oklahoma State in 2018, loaded squad. You got Cal, I believe, in 2013, 2014. So how you say, okay, Kyle, how do you say that Auburn's better than them? Let's take a look at Oklahoma State. That team had Victor Hovland, Matthew Wolf, guys that have won on the PGA Tour. They didn't even win their conference title. They didn't even win their conference title. And their national title, they somehow lucked up and just happened to be playing. That was hosted at their home course. So they won their home. They won the national title on their home course, and they didn't even win their conference title. Auburn did both, won their conference title and won on the road in California, won the national title. Cal, I don't even believe, won the national championship. They just won a bunch of times. Probably the closest team, Alabama, had back-to-back titles. But, again, they only won 9 times, I think, in their 2014 season where they played really, really well. I think there's an argument to be made that this is the best golf team of the modern era in general. I mean, you have a true freshman who won literally every possible award. I want to read some of these awards. I want you to listen to these awards that he's won. Okay, it's essentially every singular award you can possibly win. 2024 Freshman of the Year. 24 SEC Player of the Year. Not SEC Freshman of the Year. He did win that too, but SEC Player of the Year. Ben Hogan Award, SEC Individual Championship. He won the SEC Championship as an individual and as the team. Haskins Award winner, which is essentially the golf Heisman. First team All-SEC. Division One. I'm sorry, I'm going to get to this in a minute. Division One All-American. Individual runner-up, which I'm going to talk about in a second. And obviously National Championship. He was a flagstick away from being able to possibly tie for the individual national championship and have to go to a playoff. And he's nails in the playoff. So he's on 18th hole. He's one shot back. He hits a shot. You think about hitting a golf shot too good? He hit a golf shot too good. He hit a shot into 18. He would have had a tap-in birdie that would have put him right there. Or it possibly could have even gone in, and he could have won. But at worst, it could have just landed right by the hole, and he taps it in for a birdie. Then he goes to a playoff. No, it bounces, hits the bottom of the stick, ricochets off back into the bunker, and he has to makes a great up and down for par to come in tied second in the individual portion, which was that first four rounds of stroke play that I talked about. So, one of the best players, definitely with the best player in the country this year. You had him. You have a little bit of age. Leadership, you got a ton of young guys. Again, I think it's the best team definitely in the modern era golf. If you disagree with me, show me a better one. If you want to just talk about PGA Tour results, hard to do that when you haven't given these guys a chance. Hard to look at the Victor Hovland and the Matthew Wolf and what they've done in the PGA Tour when our guys haven't had a chance to even be on the PGA Tour yet, because they could have just as much success. You just look at just strictly what's done in college. Hey, find me a better resume. Find me another wire-to-wire number one. Find me another 10-win. Find me another conference championship. Find me another individual player who won as many awards as he won. Find me another team that won the national championship, not on their home course, and then we can talk about it. Then we can talk about it. But until then, seems like this team has an argument for one of the greatest golf teams in the history of golf, college golf for sure. So they're going to be at Toomer's Corner Friday. So they'll be there tomorrow. I think it's 6:30 when they get back to go to Roll Tumors. I think everybody should be out there. I think that'd be a blast. I'm going to try my best to be there because I want my kids to be able to experience it. So you should show them some support too. A lot of fun. Definitely want to show them some love. Golf team doesn't get a whole lot of, golf team doesn't get a whole lot of chatter every now and very often. So want to show them some love for all the work they've done. So guys, love the show. Love talking about this. Juju looks like he's got his eyes on this Auburn depth chart. Looks like he's got his eyes on this recruiting class. I think it's becoming more and more realistic that he could be joining this class soon. And then the shockwave that would send throughout college football could be absolutely massive. And then obviously we got to show some love to this Auburn golf team. So I really appreciate it. Like and subscribe. Like this video. Subscribe to this channel. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. Get in the comments. Let me know what you think. Am I crazy about Juju? Am I booging too hard? And then tell me what you think about the golf team winning. Is it a big deal as I'm making it out to be? I think it's huge. Auburn winning their first national title in golf and first national title in really anything in quite a while. So we'll be back tomorrow. Again, we're going daily. We're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to have some fun tomorrow as well. Talk about these big visits coming up. So I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. This is episode 46 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.